Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
What is up? My name is Keith Schertz, and I am with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, Cougs are 4-2. Life comes at you fast.
One second we're 4-0, and then we drop to it's been crazy. This, like, the perception that's changed in the last 2 weeks. But thus is life. Thus is being a fan of college football.
And this week, you know, it's a big week. I actually think, you know, this could be a dangerous one. We got the Nevada Wolfpack coming to town. And, you know, one of the things, Tosh, is I actually think this could be a dangerous game. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I mean, I've watched some of their games this year. They beat a very good Washington State team.
Yeah.
And they've...
If Washington State was coming to Provo, people would be very nervous, right?
Agreed, yeah. And they've been in every single game that they've played as well, talking about Nevada. And so... It's not a gimme. I like our odds, but there's plenty of things that scare me. Last year, with a healthy Taysom and Jamal, they gave us a run for their money.
Yeah, 28-23.
And so we're a 10-point.
We needed an interception on their last drive in order to kill off that game.
We're a 10-point Vegas favorite, which that surprised me that the spread was that big. Mm-hmm. This game does make me nervous.
Well, I think it'll be interesting. You know, they've got talent on their side. They've got, you know, Fajardo looked like a playmaker last year for Nevada. And so let's just get into him. Cody Fajardo, he is a, you know, very talented player. He had he rushed for a touchdown. He threw for a touchdown. And then, of course, he had the pick at the end of the game. But that game, I think, was the game where Nevada decided to make Fajardo become their playmaker.
Yeah, he only had 3 picks all of last year. Like, he really is a very good quarterback. And this year, he is really, to put it in BYU fans' perspective, he's really been their Taysom Hill. I mean, he leads the team in passing. He leads the team in rushing. He leads their team in rushing touchdowns. Like, he's a dynamic player. And talking about name of the year, he probably has the opponent's name of the year. Fajardo is a fun name to say.
Yeah, Fajardo is fun to say. and he's excellent. I mean, he was fun to watch. And, you know, if you remember, the Cougars, I think, were down at halftime to Nevada last year.
It was a tale of two halves. Last year, it seems like we tried to pass and really forced that, and it wasn't working. Jamal only had 1 carry in the first half. And then a second half was just the Jamal show. Just give him the rock, and he was taking it to town.
And Jamal went for over 200 yards in that second half. Incredible. So anyway, so one of the things that I wanted to think, though, so Fajardo, I mean, dangerous, and he's been running for his life. They kind of have similar personnel, right? You said on their offensive line, they're inexperienced.
Yeah, they have 3 freshmen. And so we were coming off of a great pass rushing game against UCF. I look for more of that this week, that I think we found some players, and that has been a vulnerability for the old Wolfpack, that Fajardo's really had to use his feet to avoid pressure. But I think we'll get a lot of pressure on him.
And then the next thing, so we know about Fajardo. I mean, that's one of those guys every fan seems to understand and know that this guy exists, right?
Yeah.
They've got a great player there. Is there any other players on their offensive side of the ball that have showed any sort of dynamic or just, you know, you should be aware of them because they're dangerous?
You know, not that jumps out. They have a very balanced receiving attack. You know, Richardson and Henderson are probably their best receivers, but neither one of them have mind-blowing numbers. And then Jackson's their best running back besides old Fajardo.
Right.
But again, it's really balanced on offense with the exception of Fajardo as their playmaker.
Right. So if Fajardo gets hurt, they're going to be very derailed.
Yes.
So the one thing, though, is sometimes when you don't have a full-on standout wideout, that means that they're good at spreading the ball on both sides of the field and through the middle. And I kind of get the feeling that that's the case.
Yeah, their passing attack is going to put pressure on our defensive backs. For multiple games in a row, I really look at this again as a test of what our DBs are made of and our pass rush to slow those guys down.
Now, it's a long way until game time. But, Tosh, we played most of UCF with three guys that aren't normally starters, right?
On defense. Yeah.
For the secondary. Actually, we had four, right, that aren't normally starters on defense. But in the secondary, three of them were in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
With Jordan Johnson, Daniel Levitt, and Bills was out. Bills is out with a concussion. He may not play. He may play. That's just the nature of a concussion.
I bet he doesn't.
Jordan Johnson is out.
Yep, for the year.
And Dallin Levitt, probably still out.
Yeah, he's maybe.
Okay.
With an ankle, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the big thing is I guess what I'm wondering is this secondary that has been beaten downfield, and they've been beaten downfield just a little, not very much, actually. If you actually look at some of the numbers, the Cougars are very favorable when it comes to big plays this year. They're actually, defensively, they are 20th in the nation in the least amount of plays from scrimmage against them that have gone for over 20 yards.
I think we have that perception because Utah State's fresh in our minds. But besides the Utah State game, they have not given up deep plays.
Right. Well, it's interesting because if we're going to let one game color all of our opinions about them, why don't we let the Texas game be that, where they only gave up 7 points? No, I think that that's it's really interesting when you begin to kind of look at that. So I guess my question is, you know, that secondary has given up 291 yards a game. Fajardo seems to be talented. I think he had over 300 yards against BYU last year. This is sort of 10 for Tashi. But do you think that they're going to have their pass defense yardage go up or down after this game? Will it go higher than 190 or 291 or lower?
That's a tough one because Fajardo can throw the ball around, but I actually feel more confident with Michael Davis in the game than any of the other corners that played his position.
You've been calling for that for weeks.
Yeah, and he, I thought
he was step for step. He was doing really good stuff.
Against really good receivers. UCF, I don't think people realize how good their receivers are.
Right.
That with a good quarterback last year, they were torching people. And he played great. What worries me and what makes it tough is that, you know, Nacua played good.
Yeah,
And actually, Pove has played better than anyone imagined he could last year.
Yeah, he was good.
But I don't know. I bet you that they go over. I bet you that Fajardo passes above what our season average has been.
Running-wise, obviously BYU has done a great job, but they seem, history, right, has shown that they've struggled against running quarterbacks. Is that perception valid still, or has that been erased the last couple years?
The last 3 years, that's not been the case. Because BYU used to have big, tough, but I would throw in the word slow, linebackers.
Right.
And then it feels like to me that, you know, that Kale, Brian Keel.
Keel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not the Kale Chips, but Brian Keel. He kind of changed that almost dynamic of a BYU linebacker, and that since then we've had a lot of speed in linebackers, and I don't remember a running quarterback running all over us since Colin Kaepernick in Nevada did that way back in the day.
Mm. Yeah, like that was like 2010, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is, you know, I think that should be noted is, you know, they started to line up on some downs. They kind of abandoned the Bronson at outside. He played defensive end a little bit.
Yeah.
And they put in Sione Takitaki,
who was the player of the game, in my mind, a surprise player of the game. Uh-huh. Takitaki. I love that guy. I love me some Takitaki.
Yeah. He's got a fun name.
He does that, too.
But Sione Takitaki, he forced a fumble. He got to the quarterback a couple times.
Fred Warner was getting a good pass rush on.
Fred Warner looked pretty good out there. I mean, a couple of freshmen out there making some plays. Do you think that they're going to continue to try to put Bronson on that defensive line and let these freshmen go out and cause some problems?
Yes. I that's what
they should, right?
The UCF game was weird to me in that it ended with a horrible, you know, gut-wrenching way to lose, but I still feel like we figured several things out.
Right.
One of which is that I think we really figured out a pass rushing group that works. With the guys that you just mentioned, and I think using Bronson to his
strength. And with the injuries that are out there and stuff anyway. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that they are going to continue to use those guys and that our pass rush going forward is going to be better than what we saw in the first half of the season.
Yeah, so isn't it interesting, though, that, you know, at outside linebacker, before the season, there was a bunch of hype around Bronson. Hasn't been realized. Fu was great, but he's hurt. Then, you know, Troy Hines, and we've talked, Fred Warner's done good, but they've been lining up more middle, right? And
or just bringing him, having him line up on the edge.
Or they've been putting him right on the edge, just yeah. Go get him,
yep.
Right? And then we talked about Hines and Warner and stuff, but nobody talked about this Taki, and yet he's seemed like the one guy that might be the solution there.
He really turned into, in one game where I was noticing whether he was in or out of the game on every play.
Right.
Because when he was in, he was always getting pressure. And then if it was a big play and he's not in, I'm like, why isn't Taki talking?
Right,
in?
Right.
Like, what a great game for him as a true freshman to already give that perception.
Yeah, and I thought that he was dynamic, and I think that he can be a big-time playmaker for the Cougars. Him and Fred Warner seem like a really nice combo. And it's not one of those like, oh, well, bring along the freshmen. We've lost a couple games, so let's bring it. No, they're the best option. Like,
exactly.
If the Cougars are going to win, it's by playing those two freshmen out there. And so I think that that's kind of exciting.
Totally.
Yeah. So one of the things that I also wanted to try to, you know, talk a little bit about was, so you don't think that Fajardo is going to be able to run all that much?
Not all over. I mean, if I was going to say a number, he gets 50 yards rushing.
How many yards do you think Nevada gets, just in general?
Three.
I mean, if Fajardo's only getting 50, right? Like,
you mean rushing or total yards?
Rushing.
Oh, I bet you they get 120.
Oh, so you think somebody's going to outrush Fajardo?
Or just, not necessarily, but a committee that a few guys might have. Several guys will have around 50 is my prediction.
Okay, so 150s, that's a pretty good total. Nevada might be doing some work if they're going over over 291 and they get 150 yards.
Nevada can hang. This game worries me.
Yeah. Well, if they're throwing for over 291 and they're rushing for over 150,
because let's
talk, I think the Cougars lose.
Let's talk about what they've done a little bit.
If both of those things happen, Tosh, the Cougars are losing.
It's a worry, for sure. So they beat a Washington State team,
yep.
that's good, and that's scared Oregon, that beat Utah, that's just putting up big points against Arizona, who we've all seen this year. Arizona's pretty dang good.
Yes.
Nevada lost 35-28, so they put up 28 points against a good Arizona team. Obviously, they crushed San Jose State. Against Boise State, it was a weird – they gave up 51 points, but their offense scored 46. You know, they can put up points. And then last week against Colorado State, who is probably the best team in the Mountain West, a Colorado State that beat Colorado this year, which Colorado sucks, but they're still – Colorado's the best team in Colorado. Colorado State is. The Wolfpack was down 31-3 in the second half, and this went on a tear to then score a bunch of points to lose 31-24.
Mm.
Like, and driving in the end with a turnover to end the game. Like, this team can put up yards and points. Like, it's really a scary game that if we lose again, I think our fan base is demoralized. And I'm not going there yet, but this game does worry me.
Oh, I think
fans should not be overconfident.
I think it's absolutely a possibility. Listen, defense, I wrote something on Vanquish the Foe about Nick Howell. I kind of am defending him. I feel like people are being overly harsh on him. I went through the numbers, and I started to show, right, that most of the criticisms that are on this defense are kind of unfounded, right? The one problem is they're giving up points.
Yeah. Which is, that's kind of the point, right?
We've had, right, but we've had, so, but this is the thing, is for some reason it's points, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out why. Why point? There's actually two problems.
Short field position, which you can't put that on the D.
Short field position, so that's a kickoff coverage and offensive turnover number. On that number, 15% of all of BYU's opponents' drives have begun on the 50-yard line or closer on the BYU side of the field.
That seems 15%. High.
That's 14th nationally.
In the bad category.
In the bad category.
Yeah.
Okay.
Geez.
So that's really bad. So 15% of all drives have happened within 50 yards of our goal. Okay. And then the thing that doesn't make any sense, though, Tosh, is like over 36%, just slightly over 36% of opponents' drives have started within the 20 or closer. So punt and punt coverage has been fantastic. Right, kickoff coverage, and then those turnovers, those have been really killer. So I just think that, you know, that's part of where the points are coming from. The other part where the points are coming from, Tosh, 20 first downs have been surrendered by the BYU defense this year. 20. That is second worst in the country, right?
That's gross.
USC is number one. They have 21. We have 20, right? The average for a Bronco D over the last 10 years has been 24 for an entire season.
And so we're pacing to do 40.
We're pacing to do 40 this year.
Oof.
So the point is think of how many drives that's extended this year. So put together these numbers, right? Cougars are killing off 36% of all third downs. That's good. Their opponents are starting in their own inside their own 20, right, 36% of the time.
Also good.
How on earth have the opponents made it to our red zone 23 times this year then?
Yes, what we hit.
Penalties.
Yep.
20 penalties that have extended drives for the other team. They haven't had to earn a first down. That's 20 penalties.
So here, I don't want to get too much into my conspiracy theory talk, but
ooh, I love it.
We don't have our own refs, like as an independent,
yeah,
that with the majority of these games that we play, whether home or away,
right,
we've had to agree to use their conference refs.
Yeah.
I don't think that the conference refs are getting together before the game and say, hey, we got to make sure BYU loses.
Mm-hmm.
But the statistics guy in me would love to see some stats on real, real run stats on whether there's more penalties called on the team.
On home teams?
That's not their conference refs. And because BYU, it wouldn't surprise me. It's kind of natural human tendency to, even if it's conscious or subconscious, to kind of look out for the person that's paying you. And BYU is always up against that. There's nothing we can do about it. So as a team, I don't think they should worry about it. But as Tosh, the fan who really is more stats obsessed than people realize, I really would like to have someone run the numbers on that, because there could be something there of why BYU has so many penalties is we never have refs that we're paying.
That's possible. It also just speaks to undiscipline.
Oh, for sure. Most of it is explained by bonehead calls. Because there's not that many I look at on TV and think the refs got it wrong.
Right. The other thing, too, though, is the Cougars have been like top five the last 3 years. So like since they've been an independent, they have been one of the worst penalized teams in the country. So, I mean, there may be something.
Now, I haven't heard anyone talk about it. So that's a Tosh thought that I think is real.
Well, maybe I'll do some research.
All right.
Figure it out
there
for you.
There you go.
I understand, like, you know, the Cougars have given up over 30 points three straight weeks in a row, right? That hasn't happened. That's only happened one time since Bronco's been at BYU.
Hmm.
Okay? So
we're witnessing history.
So we're kind of witnessing history. The other thing, too, is I think Greg Wrubell put out a thing that we've given up over 300 yards passing four straight games, and that's the first time that's happened since Lavelle was a rookie coach.
Jeez.
So I'm not trying to say that we're not we're not doing well on pass defense. Like, that's 100%. Like, not doing well on pass defense. But we aren't giving up big plays. It's just, it's like plays that are like 6, 7, you know, 11 yards, those sort of things. And those aren't small gains, right? But there's a lot of sustained drives that are going against the Cougars. That's how people are beating them.
Yeah.
First and second down and penalties, you know, the Cougars aren't doing well. They're doing great on third down. And they're doing pretty well in the red zone too, right? It's just overall, for whatever reason, they are really struggling on first and second down. And then the last bit is they're really not doing a very good job keeping penalties from hurting them.
And so let's look at the other side of the ball. How do you think BYU's offense is going to match up against this Nevada defense?
Well, what's your impressions? You've now seen Christian Stewart for 6 quarters.
He is Jekyll and Hyde. That's been, I mean, we just look at the UCF game. We got 5 yards total offense in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then the second quarter was a little better, but not much. And then the third quarter, the guy just goes nuts and looks like an all-time great for one quarter. And then the fourth quarter again.
You've got to say that because Mrs. Stewart, you know, she loves you. And
I've been standing up for her boy for 2 years.
She sends you stuff all the time.
But like, yeah, I am optimistic on Christian Stewart, but right now.
No, I think I even heard you say the best quarterback to wear number 7 is Christian Stewart. Better than John Walsh.
Well, that's obvious, but no. I think that I'm optimistic on Christian, but to me, he seems like a streaky quarterback.
Right.
He has streaky shooters in basketball. I think he really, he's a momentum, confidence, like really get on a roll quarterback, and that can work for him and against him.
Well, and they scored a lot of their points with short fields. Again, maybe the best.
He made some great passes on
He made some great passes. Yeah. Like, he made the right plays, right? And, I mean, the one that he squeezed into Colby Pearson was, I mean, that was squeezing it in there.
With guys in his face.
That was money. Yeah. And that. But I think the best play of the game might have been Algernon Brown after it hit the UCF guy on the punt. The ball came flying by and he held on to it. That was impressive. But no, a couple short fields really helped the Cougars. That's how they got their points there. But you know what? Like, you can't hold that against them. If you get short fields, you got to score, and they did.
Yeah.
And that was the reason they were in it.
And so
what do you think, though? I mean, I guess the other thing I wanted to ask is with Christian Stewart, it kind of unlocked different kind of parts of the receiving core, if that makes sense. My guy Keanu Nelson, he's finally on board. We've got a catch to him.
And with some injuries, you know, we saw Colby Pearson that emerged and had a great game.
Right.
I think that
on that, by the way,
the big one.
You should follow us.
Yep.
You should follow us.
Called that on Twitter before anyone else did that there was an injury. So
Taryn Houck missed the game, he may be out again this week as well. And also, by the way, they announced Nick Kurtz is out
for the year.
They're gonna they shut him up for the rest of the year. So, they're trying to say that he injured it while playing against Utah State, but that's not what happened.
No, anyone who saw the game knows that that's not.
That's not what happened.
Yeah,
he's injured before, and I just think that one of the things that you have to take a look at is where he's throwing the ball. And, you know, Taysom almost exclusively threw outside of the hash marks, within 10 yards and outside the hash marks. And Christian Stewart kind of seems to me to like that distance between 10 and 20, right? And he likes it across the middle.
In between the hash marks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking. And with that, the emergence of the tight end, you know.
Devin Mahina.
Devin Mahina was our leading receiver last game.
Yeah.
And that guy's been MIA for last few years, but it just goes to show you that
years.
The quarter it's almost, I think, it comes down to quarterback vision and where they look on the field.
Right.
And that Stewart was finding guys open in the middle of the field, and then all of a sudden, so Mahina has a great game.
Yeah, so and I think he's better across the middle. Like when he's thrown to the outside, it hasn't seemed to be as successful of an option.
So on looking at Nevada, they've only had one game where I thought their defense looked good, which was Washington State.
Right.
Ironically, the best offense they've faced, they held Washington State and their crazy pass happy attack to 13 points.
Like, Washington State's on their way to 6,000 yards.
Like,
passing.
Insane.
Like, that's, I don't think that's ever happened. So.
And they really are the only team this year that's been able to stop Washington State. But then against bad teams, well, not bad, but against, you know, okay teams.
Yeah, they've played a good schedule, haven't they?
They have. But their defense has looked horrible in games. 51 points given up to Boise. You know, so it really, we'll see what happens. That I don't even know what to expect.
Are you underestimating the Boise State Broncos? Jay Ajayi?
I am. Well,
you shouldn't give up 51 to Boise State?
Well, the other side of that game is that it's Fajardo's worst game of his whole career. He had four picks, and that's what led to a lot of Boise State points.
How'd they still score 46 points? They scored 46 with four picks?
Boise scored, Nevada scored 46 with four picks.
So they should have won that game.
Yes. That was totally on him.
Yeah.
You look at, though, Nevada's best defensive player is the guy that I think looks like a young Hulk Hogan. Like, you can't miss him in the game.
Brock Hecking.
Long.
Defensive end.
Really blonde hair.
Mullet that out, man. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And that guy, that's their player to watch on defense that I felt like our offensive line had a really good game last game, but he'll be a good test on our offensive line again this week.
Yeah, and those defensive linemen for UCF were very good. And, you know, it's just the way it goes. We've seen a lot of good defensive linemen this year.
Yep.
Between Texas and Virginia and UCF. Now it's time to, you know, bring on these this Brock Hecking. And I think, you know, Hecking only has two sacks and he has four tackles for loss. He has a lot of tackles, though. So he seems to be like a run support guy.
And they call him a defensive lineman, but in watching the games, it almost seems like he plays more like a linebacker to me.
Right.
He's just running around making plays.
Yeah. And I think that he's just probably an interesting dude, right? Like, you want to have a conversation with this guy, right? Okay, Tosh, you know, this offense is in flux, but they got a little more identity, but struggled three out of the four quarters, right? They're not going to be well-oiled and slick at this point. But that being said, right, they did only get Monday to practice.
Yeah, they only had...
They practiced one day getting ready for UCF.
I heard two, but either one.
They had two practices on Monday. That's that's the way they handled it. So this week, they've had a lot of more practice because they had a short week. This means they've got a long week to prepare for Nevada. So a lot more chance to kind of work out some of the kinks.
Yeah.
How improved do you see the offense being?
I think greatly improved.
Do we think Jamal plays or no?
I have no idea. Ankles are funny in that sometimes ankles can just take forever to be right. And so the fact that he couldn't go more than one play, I'm not counting on seeing a very good Jamal, if a Jamal at all, this week. So we'll see what happens.
And, I mean, the question marks about that offense, right? I mean, the offense struggled last year against Nevada until they didn't, right? They struggled for a half, and then they ran it with Jamal, and they went great. So yeah. I guess what I'm trying to sort out is, do we think that they're – like, what's the – in the perfect scenario, what's the most amount of points a Christian Stewart-led BYU offense without Jamal, without Taryn Houck, what is the most points that they're going to be able to put up?
40. I think we have a balanced attack. We've still got playmakers in receivers. I think Christian can throw the deep ball. We can score points, I think, if we get some turnovers. It's possible. I think that we need to be balanced. Without Jamal, we can't just be run every time. Like, because I love me some Algie Brown and some Lasike and Hine, but those guys don't break long rushes for, like, big play touchdowns.
Well, and it's not clear that any of them are a feature back, meaning Algernon Brown has things that he does that are very good.
Yep.
And so does Hine, and so does Lasike, and that's why we like all of them. But it's unsure that you should pound the ball 20 times.
None of those guys should have 20 carries.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, I think that that's going to be one of the really interesting things is to see, you know, is they can only run so much. And that's what happened against UCF. You know, they can only run a certain level, right? and then they got to be able to throw. Like, it's just the way it is. And so I think that they're going to have to be balanced, like you said. You know, there's a lot of people calling for, you know, why didn't we run more? That was what was working. But at some point, a team has to cheat up and take away the run, and then you have to be able to pass.
Agreed.
Christian Stewart running, I think it's a terrible idea. I know that he can run a little.
He had 50 yards rushing.
He had a lot of rushing yards, and he got one where it was like 20 yards on the scramble. That was really nice. And he looked really like composed. He watched where the first down line was.
He
slid.
One where he like really changed direction, tiptoed down the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. No, like I think he's a good, you know, he's good at running, right? I'm not interested in seeing McCoy Hill this year.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I think that we're going to see, I think part of Stewart's repertoire.
If we see McCoy Hill, I want it to be against Savannah State.
We might. I mean, because the guy will continue running. He's a slider, though.
Yeah.
That
sounds good. You want to go get some sliders?
Yes. Stewart. He's going to continue. I bet he averages 30 yards rushing a game. That's just.
Yeah. But you got to limit the hits he takes. Like, he can't.
Agreed.
Like, and I think that sort of means that you need to take away some of the
less read options.
Read option.
And I bet we see less read options now that he has some practice time and we can kind of design this offense a little bit more around his strengths.
But people that are calling for him to go under center, even when we weren't doing go hard, go fast, when it was air raid, like Max Hall never got under center and handed it off to like Harvey. It was always like take it from the shotgun and quickly hand it off. Like,
yeah.
Don't expect him to go under center. No. Like, that's not happening. All right. Well, I think that's all of that is interesting. Last thought, I just wanted to, you know, we talked about they should have beat Boise State. They've played a good schedule. What's their record?
They are 3-3.
3-3?
You have three wins, Southern Utah, Washington State, and San Jose State. Three losses, Arizona, Boise, and Colorado State.
All right, so here's what I want to ask you. Are they better than Boise State? I know they lost to them.
I think that if they played Boise State 10 times, they would beat Boise 6 or 7, so yes.
So this is a tougher game on Saturday than going on the road to Boise.
Well, I think it's equal because the road factor of being in Boise is a tough place to win. But so I have three games.
Okay. I think you got a lot of fans that are underestimating.
Yeah, but we're
Saturday.
Not us too. We're not okay. Part of that crowd.
Well, I just want you to be aware, right?
Yep.
Now watch, this will be a game. The Cougars win by like 40.
And then we'll smile.
Then we'll smile, right? Being wrong is, like, fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. All right, Tosh. 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. This is not opinion. This is fact. In 2013, BYU threw for 98 yards against Nevada's 118th ranked pass D. Nevada is ranked 122nd this year in pass defense. They're giving up over 300 yards a game passing. My question is, how many pass yards will Christian Stewart log against the Wolfpack?
He had over 300 last week. And so I'm gonna
Christian
go.
Stewart?
Did he not?
No.
I thought he had 328 is the number in my head.
No.
So this turns out not fact. I do think that I bet you he has over 300 yards.
Oh, so you think he's going to do it? You think we'll pass from...
Yeah, I was thinking of our total yards. He only had 153 against UCF. I bet he has over 300 yards.
Wow. So 300 yards
instead of one good quarter, he's going to have at least three good quarters.
Three good quarters. Okay, so we're going to pass that 98 yards that we were able to muster last year.
Yes, by a ways.
Okay. Number two, who has more total yards in the game? So rushing and passing, Christian Stewart or Cody Fajardo?
Even this goes against what you'd think for my last answer, but I bet Fajardo is, as some announcers have called him. So pay attention to that. I like it when people give it the soft J. But I bet Fajardo throws for and rushes for more total yards than we see out of Stewart. I think this game turns into a shootout.
Ooh. Do you want me to say saying Fajardo? Is that going to make you happier?
It does make me smile. In their first couple of games of the year, there were several Fajardos from Ananzas.
All right.
But that's even a better name than Fajardo. But Fajardo is his name.
Fajardo. All right, so you think Fajardo has more yards than Stewart?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a obvious yes. Yeah, okay, three. Over, under, 7 sprained ankles for BYU this game.
It's a tough, tough call. Like, BYU's players have been dropping like flies. The majority of those have been grabbing their ankles. What is going on? Like, why are we having so many sprained ankles? I'm going to say that it's right on that line and that there are 7 sprained ankles.
There's a MASH unit on the sidelines. It's unbelievable. Okay, so what did you answer?
Oh. Right, I chose the not over or under. I just pushed.
He 7. Pushed. 7 ankles. I hope you're wrong. Number 4, Devin Mahina broke out. Does he get over 50 yards catching in this game, or was that just an anomaly?
No, I think that Stewart looks over the middle more than any of the recent passers that we've had, and that Mahina has over 50. My prediction is that he has a 70-yard receiving game.
Oh, that's a big game. Question number 5. Who leads the team in sacks at the end of this season?
So to me, that comes down to 3 guys. It's either between Kafusi, Fua when he comes back, and the newcomer, Taki Taki. And I am going to go Taki Taki. That guy is a great at finding a way to the quarterback. Beating one, he's like the only guy we've had the last couple games that's beating one-on-one matchups.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 games to play. I think he's going to get a lot of time. Taki Taki ends the season leading this team in sacks.
I understand that Sione gave a review of our podcast once.
Really?
Yeah. He said, I like some of the numbers and some of the analysis, but it seems just a whole, like it's a whole lot of talky talky. That's terrible.
I bet you're not the first person to use that joke.
Of the podcast world, yeah, though, I gotta be.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody else is coming up with brilliant stuff like that. All right. Let's see. Okay, number 6. Who would you hand the ball off to the most on Saturday?
You know,
assuming Jamal's not in.
That's Hine is not. That guy is a prolific kick returner.
Speed.
But he has not shown me the ability to make guys miss or to break tackles as a running back.
But he has scored a couple touchdowns where they've thrown little swing passes to him. And then we haven't done that again.
The first few games that was working. Yeah, we need to bring that back in the Hine lineup.
Get him a little space, man. So swing pass, screen passes, yeah.
I'm going to go just equal. We need equal touches between Algie Brown and Lasique. Those guys, the way that they run, they can't have a ton of carries. Like, even though those are tough, tough guys, bodies just can't handle 20 carries the style they run.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just got to just divide it up between those two guys.
Okay. 7, on 3rd and long this Saturday for BYU, when they're on 3rd and long, how many draws will they run up the middle?
99% of the time.
Oh, wow.
And fans, I'm actually on the side that I don't think it's a horrible call.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well cut your losses if it's a 3rd and 20.
Arlano had a great year.
But here's the other side of things. Doesn't it seem like the other team always picks that up against BYU? Like, I feel like we're better at stopping teams in 3rd and short than we are, like, a 3rd and 15.
I think you're right. I'm being a little sincere. I think
I have more fear.
Not 3rd and 15, but, like, 3rd and 8. Through 3rd and 10.
If we know they're going to pass it, I think that they pick it up a higher percentage than when we're in a 3rd and short and we know they're going to. Our run defense is awesome when we know they're going to run.
Yeah, so 19, this will be kind of eye-opening. Of the 19 plays that opponents have had that have gone over 20 yards, right, 18 of them have been passes.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's harder to run for 20 yards. That's part of it. But BYU, in terms of giving up big, long plays, is number 1 in the country.
Yeah.
When it comes to run. Okay, number 8, halfway through the season, the Cougars are going to finish with what record? They went 4-2 in their first 6. I would have been dancing through the streets preseason had I known 4-2. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I picked that we'd be 10-2 on the year.
You would not have been dancing through the streets.
No, I would. But, and then we look at the 6 games we have. I'm going to break this down a little longer. That there's three that we could lose: Nevada, Boise, Cal. Three that are automatic wins. I hate saying that, but I believe it. UNLV, Savannah State, Mid-Tennessee State. I am still going to ride with my prediction and that we're going to end the season on a high note. I think we go 6-0 in these last six games.
At Cal? At Boise?
We got it. And this game is going to show if I am just a total pot smoker or not. But I think we win this game and we roll off 6-0.
So before the season, I predicted 8-4. I'll stay with 8-4.
All right.
What means is 9-3 is what's going to happen. Okay. Question number 9. Which will get the bigger crowd reaction at Lavelle Edwards Stadium Saturday night? The kiss cam or a t-shirt gun?
The kiss cam.
Yeah.
The kiss cam, it was late to bring to Lavelle Edwards, but it has taken over. Last home game, we missed a play. We missed a play. And I think most of the fans missed the play because everyone was so into the kiss cams as the camera people were. We missed a football play because of the kiss cam. So yeah. Kiss cam will get the better reactions.
It's so fun, isn't it?
It is. Like just the awkwardness.
How do you not smile?
Not wanting to kiss the guy.
And at BYU, I mean, it's just perfect for at BYU.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, question number 10. What is the Sunday headline?
Sunday headline is BYU leads the pack.
The leader of the pack.
I think
vroom,
vroom. BYU pulls out the win and that the Riders come up with some catchy headline involving Wolfpack.
Okay, there it is. 10 questions, Tosh McIntosh, folks. That is not opinion. They're fact. It's happening. Devin Mahina, 70 yards. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Tosh decreed it. It's Maybe. Going to happen.
Yep. Bet your friends a milkshake on that.
Okay. And now, Tosh, I want you to get people amped up for Saturday night.
Okay.
Okay, Tosh, why do we hate the Nevada Wolf Pack?
So it's probably the biggest little reason to hate Nevada and the city of Reno is to be everyone, when they think Nevada, they think of Vegas. And a lot of things about Vegas, one of which is it's the marriage capital of the world.
Isn't that nice, though?
Well, we need to raise awareness
People fall in love, and then they make a bad decision and get married in Vegas.
Guess what happens in Reno? Reno, even in the early 1900s, established itself as the divorce capital of the world.
Oh, man.
If that's not a big reason to hate Reno and the Nevada Wolf Pack, then I don't know what is.
How many players on Nevada have had a divorce?
I don't know. I would like a poll to see how many players are big fans of divorce on the Nevada Wolf Pack squad.
They're like, oh, divorce is awesome. Yeah, divorce is pretty much crappy in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Now it's the right choice at times. Let's not be insensitive. Sometimes people are a bad match and it's the right thing to do for each other.
But here's a stat to back up. So people don't think I'm blowing smoke here. Between the years 1929 and 1939, there were 30,000 couples divorced in the small city of Reno.
Oh my gosh. Boy. That's the biggest little amount of alimony I've ever heard of.
Yeah. So Woo. We need to show them that we stand for marriage.
We stand for marriage. I'm with you. And so, Tosh, if we lose to Nevada and you're walking back, you know, you're leaving the stadium, you're walking back, you're thinking about divorce. You're just... You're just super mad.
Yep, the bad guys won.
Okay. And there it is, folks. I hope you now have a reason to carry a little venom towards those guys. Now, unlike me, right, Bronco has different views of the way we ought to prepare for Nevada.
Okay.
I mean, and it's famous, right? To the chagrin and to the lauding of other people, he has a fireside talk. And the best part is, we know what the title of it's going to be this Friday night. And the best part is we also know where you can go check it out. Hoagie Yogi.
Nice. See, yeah. Most people don't even realize that there's a home game Fireside Talk, but it's because they don't know the location.
So yeah.
You reveal the location.
Yeah.
And the talk.
And believe it, it's at Hoagie Yogi. It's okay. Happening.
Just find your local Hoagie Yogi.
It's going to be there. And Broncos Fireside Talk, 100% lock it down. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing.
Ooh, fitting.
It's absolutely fitting.
I've always had the question, though, why are we trusting anybody or anything that's wearing sheep's clothing?
Are you saying we can't trust anybody wearing wool?
Possibly. You should be aware.
I have a grandmother who knits wool.
Just let's make sure she's not a wolf.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm not sure I've ever checked and made sure. She might be. So there it is, Broncos Fireside Talk. And I hope that you know the last couple of them haven't been enough to really, you know, bring the resolve within this team.
Hasn't turned into a win.
Hasn't turned into a win. And I think, you know, there's people saying there was complacency before that Utah State game. I think it had more to do with maybe a weak Fireside Talk.
Well, you should write a letter to that game.
You know what's interesting is they've been better on the road this year than at home.
That is true.
And it seems like those Firesides on the road have more importance than the ones at home.
It's not because we're not talking about
them. It's not because we're not talking about them, but it's one of those things. I think that's an interesting thing. Okay, Tosh, why don't you give us game and score predictions?
I think that this turns into a shootout, that this is another one where fans are excited but also pulling their hair out about some of the pass plays given up, and that old Fajardo is making some of our guys look silly. And so I think that Nevada scores 37 points, but that BYU pulls out the win with 41.
Oh, my gosh.
41-37, BYU, the stunner in Provo, even though we're picked to win by 10, so not much of a stunner, but the fun game to watch, shootout. What do you got?
That is a terrifying game. You just described to me a nightmare. And now they win, but like, yeah, I don't think we can win a game like that against Nevada.
Okay.
I think that they can't score that many points. I think that this offense is continuing to figure out their identity. Best improvement is between week one and week two, and for all the reasons that you understand, right? This is essentially week two.
Yes.
So
with this new team,
for this new offense, and with a lot of new defensive personnel. So I think we're going to be better than we were, and I think that UCF is better than Nevada. You agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
Yeah. So UCF, short week, we took them to overtime and stuff. I at the same time, for whatever reason, I do think it's flipped this year. We're a worse home team than we are a road team, and I don't know why that is. But anyway, I would say that BYU is going to get this game, but I think it's going to have to be like a 24-21 point game. Or like,
that's still a scary score.
Oh yeah, 20. Well, right, but if Nevada scores 38, we're toast. I'm sorry. I don't think Christian Stewart and no Jamal and, you know, we don't have a big-time playmaking wide receiver. We don't have, like, I just, if Nevada scores 38, we're toast. And that's, I mean, I just think that this offense isn't ready to score 41 points. That is at the absolute maximum output that they can get. And you said that earlier in the show.
Yep, and I think it's the Leslie show on offense.
Oh.
That he has made a career of torching teams of this caliber.
Mm-hmm.
At UTEP, and so I think this is his breakout game.
Yeah. Well, and if we can't pass against Nevada, we're not going to be able to pass. Yeah. Now, granted, they've played some very good pass teams, right? But ultimately, they're 122nd. They're giving over 300 yards. If the Cougars can't pass against Nevada, they can't pass.
Yep.
Like, and I think that's the last talking point that I want to give, right, is this is sort of the keystone game for the rest of the year. if they lose this game, that changes a lot of your perception the rest of the way.
And all three tough games we're really worried about.
Yeah. And if they win, then it feels like, you know, it's going to be a lot better campaign.
Yep.
But if they lose, like, 8 wins, like, it's going to be 8 wins at most.
Yeah.
If they win, you know, now that 9-10 might still be in play. So it's really, I do think it's a pivotal game that will be a real challenge for the Cougars. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Late game. Let's go fight win.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!